as though it had been pushed down from above, and part of it was scorched black. The natural color of its casing appeared to be silver. No writing, no symbols, no identifying markers at all. Axe didn't know what it was either, but she didn't say so immediately. Taking the opportunity to inspect the interior of the vault in more detail, she memorized sensor emplacements, estimated the strength of the walls, and measured the distance of each object from the door, just in case she had to perform in the dark. It would be much better, of course, to take the prize once it was out of the vault and away from all these impediments, but she would be prepared for anything.
"It could be a bioreactor,"
she said to the envoy, returning control of the window to him.
"Plague agents, perhaps?"
"Hard to say without opening it."
"Indeed."
Nervin turned back to Yima.
"Is that all you have to show us?"
"All?"
The Twi'lek showed his teeth. They were as pointed as the tips of his leku.
"I will escort you to a waiting room where you may examine data relating to our find in perfect comfort."
"Very well."
Nervin indicated that Yima should lead the way. Axe fell in behind them, with her huge hook shadow at her side. The objects in the vault didn't speak to her either as a Sith apprentice or as the biological offspring of Lima Zandret. The plague bioreactor, if such it was, provoked no memories at all. The sparse information they had been given told her only a little more. That the object was made from an alloy of extremely rare metals boded well for her master's dreams of giving the Emperor a rich new world. But it meant nothing in itself. With the crew of the Cinzia dead, there were no leads to follow there either, unless she could uncover something that had been hidden by the huts. Like a survivor, perhaps, or another clue as to the ship's origins. She didn't put it past Tassal Barish to auction only half of what they'd found, while keeping something extra in reserve to sell to the auction's losing party. Yima took them out of the antechamber and back into the circular security airlock, where the heavy doors cycled again. From there, Yima led them along a new set of luscious corridors in the direction of the no doubt equally luscious waiting room. Axe made it her business to be elsewhere. Confusing her hook escort with a well-placed mind trick, she slipped away from the group and vanished into the shadows. Chapter 9. Ula endured Tassal Barish's welcoming spiel with ill-disguised contempt. Cordiality and profitability made untrustworthy bed partners, particularly when honesty and ethics weren't invited too. When his host promised him an array of amenities, including chemical enhancements and even more dubious forms of entertainment, it was all he could do not to spit to get the bad taste out of his mouth.
"I think we can dispense with all that," he said. "Why don't we just get down to business?"
Tassal Barish's slit-like grin widened even farther, if that were possible. Her pointy-headed protocol droid assured Ula that Tassal Barish understood completely. She waved forward an underling, a salacious-looking Twi'lek, who took over negotiations from that point. The Twi'lek promised that they would soon see the legacy of the Cinzia. As Ula was led from the throne room, he glimpsed a scruffy-looking man leaning up against the rear wall with a blank look on his face and a battered orange droid close at his shoulder. The man's ennui had a manufactured air, and it was this that caught Ula's eye.
"Who was that fellow back there?"
he asked his guide.
"We